Hello and welcome to the Kingfisher Podcast with Eric and Bron Whitley. We just want to wish you a happy Easter. It's Easter Monday here today, and we just hope that you're celebrating and remembering the amazing things that Jesus has done for you and all that we celebrate over Easter.
I love that here in Australia we have Good Friday and Easter Monday off, so it's a long weekend, a four-day weekend.
Yes. Part of what we're wanting to talk about today is it's not just lovely to have that time off.
It's not just about the four-day weekend.
No.
and the chocolate eggs. I mean, there are a lot of chocolate eggs. We have three children, and so I do probably go a little overboard because we don't really buy chocolate much throughout the year. I go a little overboard at Easter.
It is nice. I mean, I am not against that kind of celebrating. Same thing with Christmas. I'm not against Santa Claus, but
we love to celebrate.
We do. But it's also important that we emphasize the true meaning of what we're celebrating and why it's a holiday to begin with.
Yeah, so yesterday was Easter Sunday, and we celebrated Jesus' resurrection by going to a sunrise service with our children, and they were not super thrilled about getting up that early, but we just expressed to them that this is actually what Easter is all about, is celebrating Jesus and what he did for us. And so it was actually a really beautiful thing.
And I think the bribery of hot cross buns and hot chocolate probably helped.
I mean, we have chocolate chip hot cross buns.
There's starting to be a theme now.
There's a lot of chocolate.
But really, we wanted to spend today's podcast talking about Jesus and his resurrection from the grave after dying on a cross, being crucified, what that really means and what it is that we celebrate. All the stuff, even the chocolate eggs, have symbolism to it. Not everybody knows that, but the egg is about new life, and it's the same thing. Jesus, when he died and was buried and rose again, he brought new life, not just to himself, but to all humanity. Anyone who would believe in him and receive him as their savior now has new life and eternal life, and it's a really significant thing.
Yeah, I mean, as Christians, this is really the main thing for us. This is what gives us salvation.
It's what gives us salvation and brings us into relationship with God. All these other podcasts and all the other things that we talk about and write and discuss, it all stems back from this, that without that bridge between us and God through Jesus and his sacrifice, we couldn't do those things. None of it would be possible because we'd be separated by our sin.
Yeah, so I think most people have heard about, you know, Adam and Eve in the garden and how sin entered the world through disobedience to God. And a lot of people don't really understand what sin is, but I sort of look at it as it's disobedience to God. It's not doing what he has said to do or doing something opposite to what he said to do. And when we sin, it separates us from God because he is righteous and holy and he can't be around sin. And so it put that wall of separation between us and him. And the only way for that wall to be breached was through a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, which is what Jesus made.
Yeah, and it kind of is gruesome and unpleasant, particularly if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ.
Amazing movie, definitely.
By Mel Gibson. But it is a very graphic movie, but I think it really brings home the reality of what Jesus went through in a physical sense for us. And you look at, as well, the Old Testament and all the Jewish laws, and you know they were making sacrifices of blood, the spotless lambs and all that. The reason all that's in there is it's a foreshadow of what Jesus was going to do and what it meant, because the Bible says there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And blood is what gives us life. It's the life
and
liquid.
That might sound yucky to you, but it's just reality. It's a fact. The fact is there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And all of those sacrifices that they used to make, the animal sacrifices throughout the history of the Israelites, it was them trying to stay connected to God by making sacrifices to cover their sins. But it was also God showing us that it can't be done. There's no sacrifice that they could make that would cover their sins. And Jesus had to come as the final sacrifice once for all to cover all of our sins, because he was pure, he was righteous, he was without sin. and because he was God. And so he made that sacrifice on our behalf so that we would not have to, and we wouldn't have to die and spend eternity separated from him.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, those sacrifices had to happen annually because they only covered it for a time. They were not sufficient, whereas the sacrifice of Jesus was for all time and covers all sin. But it doesn't do it automatically. I've talked to a lot of people recently, and there seems to be this misunderstanding of who God is, and thinking if I just believe God exists, that's all I need to do.
And do good things.
And maybe do good things. That's all that is required to be in right relationship with him. But that's not it. We actually have to respond to what Jesus did by repentance, which means turning away from our sins, turning away from our own desires, turning away from leading our own life however we see fit by our own wisdom, and laying our life down as Jesus did to him, because he talks and uses this language a lot. If you lay your life down, that's where you find true life,
yeah,
is by laying your life down, which seems very contradictory in our minds. It's like, so if I become a slave, I'll be free. Well, kind of. That is sort of how it works. And Paul uses that language a lot. Paul, yeah, calls himself a bondservant of Christ multiple times because he understands that in obedience to Christ is where he actually finds true freedom.
Yeah, and it's out of our love for him. That's what the Bible tells us, that if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so I know for me, the things that I struggle with and stuff, I was talking to God this morning on a walk actually about some of the things that I'm struggling with. And I just felt like, you know, this is a sacrifice that I have to make a sacrifice to change these little things in my life, these little habits or whatever it is. But I do that out of my love for God. I'm going to make those changes out of my love for him, because I want to be obedient to him. And there's, you know, it talks about in the Bible, the fear of God. There is an element of fear there, but it's not fear as in he's going to smite me or anything. It's, I don't want to displease him.
It's awe. It's respect. It's, I don't have words. Like, I've tried to find the right words to put around what the fear of God is, because when we define fear,
yeah, the English word sounds bad.
It's not accurate, our understanding of fear. But there is a fear of the Lord, as you say, that commands that respect and that obedience and that desire to yeah, follow him.
And out of our own strength, we can't be perfect. We can't always do the right thing and be sinless. It's impossible.
It is. And how loving is God, knowing, we've talked about this before, where just for the opportunity that we might choose him and repent and be saved, I mean, all of humanity could have rejected Jesus. I know.
And a lot of it does.
A lot of it does, but I'm saying there's a lot that have chosen him. But all of humanity could have rejected this, and then the sacrifice of Jesus would have been for nothing, like in that scenario. That's a very extreme scenario. But just for the chance that we would respond to him in this way, he was willing to give Jesus as a sacrifice.
Yeah.
And what's amazing, and what we're celebrating, is, yes, he did die. He suffered a very brutal death. It's horrible. And if you ever read sort of the history of what crucifixion does, like from a physiological stance, it was one of the most excruciating ways to die.
Yeah, it was an excruciating death. But also, I think all of us can relate to the idea of everyone hating you and calling for you to be killed and your friends abandoning you.
Yeah, I mean, there was...
It's the worst.
There was just more difficulty heaped on difficulty for Jesus over those couple of days. I mean, all of his best friends abandoned him. He's falsely accused. He's then just brutally treated and killed.
Yeah.
And then put in a cold grave. Like, he didn't even have his own grave. Somebody had to, yeah, give him a grave.
And he didn't do anything wrong.
No, and he was perfectly innocent, but he didn't stay there. And that's what we celebrate at Easter, is after 3 days, the power of God resurrected him, and he came back from death. And what that says, what that means, and these are a lot of big theological concepts that I'm talking about, and I'm not fully extrapolating on them, but He conquered death. When sin entered the world with Adam and Eve, it brought death. It brought sickness, pain, death, all that sort of stuff, right? Physical death. It also brought eternal spiritual death. What he did by being resurrected, he set the course back to where we can have eternal life, and we now have victory over death. Yes, we all still die a physical death, but the essence of us, who we are, our spirit, it lives on, and we can spend eternity with Christ.
Yeah, we can live in communion with him on earth, and we can spend eternity with him, so we're not separated from him any longer. If we choose, we have to make that choice. And if you're listening today and you haven't made that choice yet, I would encourage you to do so. I'd encourage you to ask Jesus into your heart, to submit your life to him, body, mind, and spirit, to ask for forgiveness of your sins, and he will come and meet you, and he will give you salvation out of his own grace and mercy. And it is really the best thing you will ever do, the best choice you'll ever make, because the love and the joy and the peace and the hope that comes with that is not anything that really can be described in words. I mean, a lot of time Christians just struggle to be able to express it. I usually, if someone's in front of me face to face, I usually just lay hands and pray for them, because then they feel the presence of God and they feel that hope and joy and peace and love. I've prayed for them, and as I pray for them, I see the tears, you know, well up in their eyes, and I say to them, do you feel that? That's the presence of God. And they say, yes, I do. It feels like love and joy and peace and hope. Well, that's God.
You often tell those stories when you were ministering in the juvenile detention center, and, you know, these are young people who come from very rough backgrounds. They've committed crimes. You know, they're spending time in a prison, a juvenile prison, which is hard, which would harden somebody as well.
For me, that was the best way to introduce them to God, because they didn't want to listen to anything we were saying necessarily. I mean, you know, you can bond with them over a period of time, but for me, the fastest way to get through to them was simply lay hands on and pray, because I could see in their eyes that they felt the presence of God. And when you're living in so much despair and darkness, when the presence of God arrives and touches you, you notice.
Well, I can imagine they probably had not experienced a whole lot of love in their life. And God's overwhelming love, even if it's just a taste of it, would be quite overwhelming.
Yeah. There was one boy in particular who I feel like God sent me there just to lead him to Christ, because talking to him, he revealed that his mum was a Christian. You know, in Australia, they don't send young people to prison for no reason. You know, it's a pretty much a last resort. This was a big boy. I don't know how long he'd been in there, but he was pretty hard. We were trying to teach them about the Bible. He would stay in the back of the room with his back turned and wouldn't listen. So I just kind of went over there to him on my own, and I just asked him, you know, is there anything I can pray for you about? And he said, well, I'm getting out next week. You could pray for that. And I said, yeah, I'm happy to. And so I just laid hands on him and prayed for him. I asked him, of course, if I could. And I prayed for him. And as I watched him as I was praying for him, his eyes filled with tears. And I just said to him afterwards, did you feel that? And he said, what? And I said, that feeling deep in your chest that's like hope and love and acceptance and peace, did you feel that? And he said, yes. And I said, well, that's God. And I said, and there's a lot more of that for you. That's just a taste. And he just started crying and he said, he's real? And I said, yeah, he's real. And he became a Christian. I led him to Christ right there. This big, hard boy who had been running from God because his mum's praying for him. And because of a praying mother, I was sent in there to lead him to Jesus. And apparently the next day I was informed that he was going around shouting to everyone that he was a Christian.
And that's what we're celebrating with Easter, is that transformational love of God. I mean, I haven't been to prison. I've visited prisons before as a pastor, but I've never been to prison. But I can't imagine being there for any extended amount of time, just the despair and darkness you would experience. And yes, you have to have that persona of toughness there, or else you get taken advantage of. And yet here he is, he experiences God's love one time and he's just proclaiming. See, I just think once you have experienced God's love in that real tangible, experiential way, I don't think you can keep it quiet.
Yeah, the Bible says, oh, taste and see, for the Lord is good.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah. And so as we celebrate Easter and we celebrate what God has done and continues to do, because oftentimes we talk about salvation with this future expectation in mind, about it's about getting saved. I used to call it fire insurance, you know, when I was growing up, because all the fire and brimstone pastors would be preaching and you're going to hell. And so I call it fire insurance, you know, a little bit. I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to get saved. But it's not all about the future of being with God. And that's a wonderful aspect of it. Yes, there's the eternity part with God. But it's also for now that God does give us those things, those intangible things that the world does not have and cannot gain outside of him. You know, peace. You know, the Bible talks about peace that surpasses our understanding. That's peace that in the midst of conflict, in the midst of chaos, you have a peace that defies your rational understanding of what the way you should be feeling. That's a God thing. He gives us his love. He gives us empowerment. We've been talking about spiritual gifts in some of the past episodes. He empowers us to do great things for the kingdom of God, to serve others, to bless others, even as he used you, you know, to touch this one child's life, to bring him into salvation. And he has that for each and every one of his children. If you know God, he has a purpose and a plan for your life, even now. It's not just about eternity. It's about now. And I think the stuff now is even more significant in a lot of ways than eternity. Because in eternity, we're not going to be battling the forces of evil. That's all going to be dealt with. That's going to be gone. We just get to then relish in God's presence and his peace and joy and love and all that sort of stuff. I think it's more amazing right now to stand against the powers of darkness and see God's power overwhelm that.
Yeah, it's so much easier to just go with the flow of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's hard. Be transformed by the power of Jesus. That's hard. It's a sacrifice. It's a risk. But I can guarantee you that it's not one you will regret.
And so I just want to end today. This is going to be a shorter podcast, but I want to end today to say, if all Easter is to you is the chocolate eggs, which they're delicious and they're fun and they're lovely, but if that's all Easter is to you, then really consider who Jesus was. There's plenty of resources out there. If you need a historical basis, that did Jesus really walk on the earth and do the things he did and say the things he said? Did he really die on a cross? Was he really resurrected? There's plenty of actual secular historic information and fact that he did exist and those things did happen. There's plenty of that stuff out there, but it does require faith. And that's the key, is to believe. If you believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead, and you declare it with your mouth, then you'll be saved. And so it does require some faith. If you need some more information, go find it. I encourage you. I challenge you. If it's a dangerous thing, if you can be the most staunch atheist out there today, if you're listening, I challenge you, if you go with an open mind to say, Jesus, are you real? Do you love me? And is all this actually true? You go and seek that out in an honest, sincere way. I believe you're going to find God. And I challenge you to do that.
Too many people think, I look around and I see Christians and I don't like the way that that looks, or I don't like their political beliefs or whatever it is, and so I'm not interested in their God. But I would just say, don't let the behavior of other people determine whether or not you meet your Creator, whether or not you have a relationship with the living God and an eternity with him. Don't let other people make that decision for you. This is your decision. It is your life. You need to make that choice for yourself. Don't be swayed by what other people say or do. You don't know what their journey is. You don't know what they're doing or what they believe or anything like that. But you can go directly to God yourself and talk to him about whatever concerns you have. Don't miss that chance. You don't get another chance. This life is it.
Yeah, it's not about Christians. I mean, Christians are very imperfect. We talk about this a lot in our just conversations, how Christians sometimes think the wrong things, do the wrong things. I mean, not sometimes, but most of the time.
The Christian world is very diverse. It's full of all kinds of thoughts and people and activities, and it's not a monolith, but it's just a lot of flawed people all over the world who love God. And it's not something that you should use to make your decision about what other people are saying or doing or
that's
thinking.
That's it. Well, we all make mistakes and we all do the wrong thing. But I know we as Christians are supposed to reflect God. And I think in a lot of ways we do, but it's not a perfect reflection. And I guess our encouragement is don't look to a person, look to God, because he is perfect. And he is more than able to stand up to your scrutiny.
And he will never let you down.
And I think you'll find that he is who he says he is.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Yeah, we wish you a happy Easter. I just pray that you've enjoyed the weekend with family and friends, and that it has been about more than just Easter eggs and bunny rabbits, but that you have celebrated and reflected upon the sacrifice, his resurrection, and the life that that brings of Jesus. This has been the Kingfisher Podcast with Eric and Bron Whitley. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you again next time.